Watch out, here I come.
Expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, and you are with your favorite host and hostess. You're here on The Buzz on ztalkradio.com with, you've got Kevin.
And Molly.
Hey, I told you I was going to mix things up a little bit tonight, Molly, and boy, did
I. And you are mixed up.
I'm sorry. I just got so involved with the music. That is a flashback to the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why. Why did we ever get away from that?
Well, I'm glad we got away from the disco.
Oh, no.
I didn't like that mess, but...
Oh, my goodness. Well, everybody, welcome to the show. We did have some technical difficulties about 2 weeks ago, and it was terrible. It was awful.
To say the least.
But we have persevered. We've taken these 2 weeks. Last week was Memorial Day, and so we were not planning on doing a show on Memorial Day. So we took this time and this reprieve to fix everything. So the show should be sharper. It should be just wow, you know. Molly can hear the music, and tonight we're actually going to be able to hear our guest
and hear me without being on the phone.
Yeah, you don't have to phone it in, Molly.
Yeah, ET phone home. Yeah, you know, I was having to call in on the phone. I couldn't hear any of the music. I couldn't, you know, I was just having a heck of a time, and half the time the listeners couldn't even hear me. So. Yeah. I think we're all back in working order again. At least I hope so.
Yes, we are pumping out right now at 5 megabytes per second, and I'm downloading at 14. So we have all of our bandwidth back.
Yay!
Which was being borrowed by our local cable company, installing cable at a subdivision. And then I had a couple of settings that were... set back to defaults on my computer, so we are fixed. We are up. We are running.
Run around fast you can. Can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of flashbacks. But tonight we're going to have our guest back. She was very, very, very gracious and very, very patient with us. We are going to have Moonwater Silverclaw back with us again tonight. And this time she'll actually get to talk to you guys. You'll actually get to hear her. So we are excited to bring her back because she was doing so well. Then we realized that nobody
was hearing us.
Yeah, and that's just terrible. And that was, you know, I feel, although it's beyond our control, I always just feel that it's rude to our guest. But she has blessed us and has agreed to come back. Author and speaker, Moonwater Silverclaw. Now, she is the Wiccan High Priestess and member of the Covenant of the Goddess and the New Wiccan Church. And she's going to share her personal story about how Wicca, the practice of Wicca, saved her life and helped her strengthen herself and to secure her release from an abusive marriage, and how it has enriched her life and has made her a more full and a more complete person. She has authored several books. I'll just give you a few of the names, and then I'll let her share about the books. The Goddess Reveals Your Enchanted Light. The Goddess Has Your Back, which is probably my favorite. Goddess Walks Beside You, and The Hidden Children of the Goddess. Now, if you would like to call in, and if you have any questions that you'd like to ask our guest, that number is
262-672-2488.
High five, Molly.
Yay.
High five. So, yeah, that was, boy, 2 weeks ago. It was the perfect storm. Wow.
Yeah, it was.
It was terrible. But we are back. If you would like to chat or share your questions on over the chat room, all you have to do is go to ztalkradio.com and click listen and chat. Molly.
Kevin.
I've got good news. Speaking of Z-Talk Radio.
What is it?
today.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Well, this is going to be a good news
I'm
for our...
I'm on the edge of my seat.
This is going to be good news for our conspiracy buffs. Today was our first day officially carrying the Alex Jones Show on Z-Talk Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, he is a big name, more in your conspiracy. He's been in talk radio for well over 20 years, and he's probably best known for his controversial take on most topics. But he is a conspiracy buff, and I have really enjoyed his show for about 3-4 months before I decided to carry it, so... I'm a little excited. We got new talent.
Yeah. We always enjoy new talent. Kind of a segue into that. One of our listeners, Bob Tidwell, which is also a conspiracy theorist, today is his birthday. And I'd like to give him a shout out and a happy birthday, Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday, Bob.
Happy birthday to you. <I'm saying.
laughs> Maybe we shouldn't.
No.
Let me mute the mics, and then we can sing as loud as we want.
But he won't hear us.
Well,
but maybe that's
much,
a good thing.
Yeah, won't be much different than 2 weeks ago.
That's true.
So, yeah, good things are happening. Let me ask you, let me jump right off into a bizarre question, though, Molly, and this is something that I wanted to ask our guest tonight. With everything that you and I have been through, all the different cases and all the different odd situations, and talking to magicians and talking to practitioners of various belief systems, do you think that magic has substance? Is it a physical thing?
Yeah, I kind of think it is. Yeah, I watch that Carbonaro Effect show every once in a while, and that guy is so good. And I don't understand how he does all that, but you know, it's. Yeah, I think it's got to have some substance to it.
Does it have a physical property? Because we have seen magicians do things. We've seen, you know, possible telekinesis. But we've seen people perform spells. We've seen people do clearings. And they have a physical effect on the environment. So does that mean that magic is physical?
Very interesting. I don't know.
Well, I think Moonwater is going to be able to answer that.
Maybe
tonight.
She can answer that for us.
Yes, I believe so. Because, you know, there was a study that was done. Now, is this, I cannot validate this study, but there was a study that was done in Russia several years ago. And they actually weighed a person who was dying. And at the moment of death, their body actually lost several ounces.
Yeah, I had seen that.
So, yeah, so if a spirit has weight, and we, you know, the source of our life, and for the lack of better terms, magic, is our spirit, then does that magic have a physical property? Wow, we're only 10 minutes into the show.
Wow. I don't know. There's a little puff of smoke going up out of my head here. I don't know.
Oh, because I wanted to ask her so bad, and I didn't get the opportunity, because me and her had been discussing it a little bit on Facebook, you know, what kind of questions could we expect, and I wanted to ask that so bad, and man, it has been eating at me for 2 weeks now.
Well, she'll be on here in just a few, and you can ask her.
Yes, I am.
And then you can sleep well tonight.
Yes, and sleep late, because I am off tomorrow.
How are you? Good.
I am. Thank God. It's been a weird weekend. It's been peaceful, but just weird, bizarre things happening.
Such as?
Oh, well, let's start here. We had a situation where a guy came into booking, and he was... Do you remember the biblical story about the demonically possessed man who was running through the tombs cutting himself?
No.
Very similar to that. This guy was just, he was gone. He was gone. And one of my officers opened the cell to check on him. And I wished I could have seen this, but they described this man as not getting up out of the bed. He just like rose, like from the feet up, just like a 2x4.
Levitated or just set up?
Kind of. His feet never left the bed, but he just comes straight up like a 2x4. And just started shrieking and run out of the cell. and you know, they tried to get a hold of him, but he was just shrieking out of his mind. And I just happened to hear the commotion from the release area. I come in, I was like, the guy just kind of stopped and he looked at me, and you know, he was startled because I came around the back corner. And he just looked at me and he just starts shrieking, and I was like, oh, stop it. Just stop it.
So you sound like a little girl.
And he's just kind of, oh. Walked back in the cell, laid down, and Molly, it was like he was never awake.
Well,
he just laid back down in the bed and was gone.
Maybe he was having a bad dream or something.
I don't know, but it was just weird.
Kind of like a sleepwalking type thing?
You know, more like sleep possession?
I don't know.
But, yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out.
And it wasn't even a full moon.
You know, we can't even see the moon tonight, but...
Yeah, right.
You
and I had talked about that once before, and I told you about different things that occur during the full moon and whatnot, and I wanted you to do an experiment at work to see if anything had changed, you know, with the type of people that came in for booking or anything like that, or if the prisoners acted any differently during full moons. Have you noticed any difference?
The blue moon did make a difference. The blue moon.
Okay.
And remember, that was about a week or so ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know, and we can, this is another good question for Moonwater tonight. I'm not sure if maybe I wasn't influencing the observation because I was expecting it and I was looking for it and watching for it. So, you know, maybe I could have front-loaded myself, but it did seem to make a difference. The 2 days before were dead silent, pardon the pun. Then there was 3 days where there was that blue moon and it was just off the chain. And I'm talking mechanical stuff breaking down too. Computers blowing, the air conditioning blew out,
oh, wow.
And booking And it was like 100 million degrees in there.
Yeah.
And then these last few days, have, other than a couple bizarre instances, like I said, no real serious issues, just weird people.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say that the moon does, you know, has that pull and an effect on people that, you know, if there's mm-hmm. crazy people out there, they do even more crazy things. And, you know, more babies are born during full moons and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So.
Well, I tell you what, let's go to a quick break here. I want to make it a quick one so we can give Moonwater some extra time tonight. And
sure.
When we come back, I'm just going to play some music, and we're going to get Moonwater on the line, and we'll run right back into it.
Okay, and we'll play Name That Tune.
I bet they don't get it. Well, I don't know. This one's pretty popular. But everybody, just stick with us, and we will be right back.
Superman, hey little sister, who's the one you want? Hey little sister, shotgun. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Hey little sister, what's your spicy wish? Hey little sister, shotgun, oh yeah. Hey little sister, who's your Superman? Hey little sister, shotgun, it's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Ow. Start again.
are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com, and we are blasting out at 12 megabytes per second. So, yay!
We are
still golden.
Party!
Well, everybody, we are being joined again very graciously by our guest, Moonwater Silverclaw. And for those of you that are back with us, you remember a brief introduction. And Moonwater, I kind of gave a reintroduction today. So why don't you say hi to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you to what got you here?
Oh, what got me here, huh? Well, I suppose that, well, we worked on a case, I guess, together, briefly, as it were. I guess we were talking about sigils at one point.
Yes, we were.
And basically talking about how they were created and basically what kind of sigils you were dealing with. And we got some information to you. Mm-hmm. I wish we had gotten more, but...
Well, it was such a bizarre thing. It was, I guess, you know, like you explained and some others explained that you can create your own sigil.
Yeah, it's quite easy, actually. And I can explain the process if you'd like later on.
Yes. That would be a good thing for us to kind of close out the second hour with.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But tell us about Moonwater. Tell us, how did you learn Wicca? How did you come to that point in your life?
Well, I don't remember exactly when I heard the word Wicca, but I was very drawn to it when I first heard it. So I went down to a bookstore, which we pretty much don't have anymore. They're so far and few in between. and asked the lady at the counter, you know, well, do you have any books on Wicca? And I didn't know this, but she was a practicing witch. And so she ran down and she got all these books and, you know, put them in my hands. And, you know, you can only see my nose pretty much with all the books that she gave me. It was funny. And I just kept saying,
how about... You decided you were there, huh?
Yes, asking. And I said, you know, please just tell me which one would be best. One, please.
Yeah, let's
and so
start.
She pulled out one, and I took it home, and I just was reading it, and it was basically like going home. I mean, I really felt that, you know, I was doing this, that the book was, you know, talking about different subjects, and I'm like, I do that, I do that, I do that. Oh, I never knew that that's what, when you do these things, that this is what it's called. So, you know, I started doing more practice and started to actually read more books, and I was really wanted to get a mentor at that point, but I just said, you know, the god and goddess will, you know, provide me a mentor when I find myself in the right position, and when I'm ready, the master will appear, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced solitary for quite a few years until I finally moved and I met a particular person who I will not name. But he did practice and he was a third degree gardenerian. And I was very happy and we started the studying for a while and it just kind of kept going on and here I am now.
Now, when you say that you practiced solitary for several years, what was guiding you?
The god and goddess, basically. A lot of what I do is meditative. It's more of communing one-on-one with deity. And so I would actually get guidance through signs, of different things, saying, I once asked, I don't remember what I was asking about, but I said, I need to know if I need to do X, you know, show me a rabbit somewhere. And I was going to a place called Filoli, which is also in California. And it's a basically a historical estate, and they have beautiful gardens there. And I was walking around enjoying the beauty among many flowers and other pieces of artwork, and I happened to come across a rabbit. And I knew exactly that, yes, I was supposed to do X in order to, well, I can't even remember what it was now, but it's been so many years. But I that's how you get guided. You get guided by, you know, show me this, or you'll see signs and things that you see out in the world that guide you to go and talk to people and do different things that you need to do in order to grow as an individual and spiritually.
Yeah, they're like guideposts, signposts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, kind pretty of, much, kind of
like
yeah.
Little map, mapping the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, you are here.
Yeah, yes, this is basically where you're wanting to go.
So your mentor, if I caught the words correctly, you said was a third degree gardenarian?
Yes, that's a type of witchcraft.
Wow.
There are many different types of witchcraft, so that's my particular, where I come from in the whole scene of witchcraft, is actually the gardenarian tradition. There's Alexandrian tradition, there's, you know, Dianic, there's a lot of different, like you would call like different Christianity sects. There's different sects that
like Nazarenes or Baptist or Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's basically, but we have different traditions. We call them traditions, and I'm a gardenarian.
So what, tell me a little bit about that. Gardenarian, do you specialize in one type or?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the history of where Wicca came from, and
absolutely,
I'll get a little more clear, I guess. So there was a man called Gerald Gardner, and he was born in England, and he had bad asthma and different things, so he would be taken by his nanny down to different more tropical places. And the indigenous people there would practice their indigenous practices and faiths, and he was very intrigued by them. And hello?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm just listening. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, anyways. So he eventually went through his life and grew up and came back to England, where he met a group of witches. And they were part of what was called New Forest Coven. Thank you.
New Forest.
Yes, New Forest Coven. And he met a woman, Dorothy Clutterbuck.
And what a name.
Yeah, very interesting name, huh?
Yes, it is.
Very English name.
And was initiated into that coven in 1939 by Dorothy herself. And later he found out that, you know, she was basically the high priestess or the one of that group. And practiced for quite a while, and he was noticing that this particular faith was dying out. I mean, there wasn't a lot of people going around practicing because, I mean, look at the Middle Ages and look at the Dark Ages, and
yes,
extermination,
so, basically.
Yeah, basically. But then when the witchcraft laws were repealed in 1951, he was able to write books about it and actually talk about it to people. And people started calling in and writing letters, being interested in knowing more. And it kind of snowballed into this, you know, event of, you know, people just really drawn to this faith. And
now, did you say 1951?
Yeah, that was when the witchcraft laws were repealed in England.
Wow, it took them that long?
It took that long, yes.
I mean, I'm just kind of shocked because, I mean, in the 50s, well, 40s, we were a fairly modern world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, you know, a lot of people even today are very oppressed because of their faith. And I think it's because a lot of people just don't understand it. You know, I mean,
they're afraid of what they don't know.
Yeah, basically. And instead of, you know, being afraid of something about something, go and ask somebody, you know, who's knowledgeable and ask them about, what do you do? What's going on? But I don't think a lot of people do that. They've listened to, you know, people with their scare tactics and things that it's just become just an unfortunate situation.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you or sidetrack you, but it just kind of shocked me. And now that we're discussing this, you know, like well, I'm sorry. I'm getting way ahead of myself. go back to the history.
Cause he's all excited.
I am.
Okay. Well, anyways, eventually it came to the Americas in around 1960s. And I believe the person who brought that over was, what was his name? I've got to think about that for a second. But anyways, he brought it. It'll come to me. he brought it to America, and you know, again, it just exploded because of the culture of the 1960s. People were really into this. Mm-hmm. Because it had a lot of, you know, think for yourself. It was more liberating for women because women were very oppressed with the secular religions that were available. And here, you know, instead of, you know, just being somebody who listened and was told what to do, you actually got to be the person who preached and the person who helped guide others. And it was just very empowering for a lot of women.
Well, we were ready for it in the 60s. Like you said, we were breaking free of all the traditional molds anyways.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying, that the environment was very rich and just very accepting of this new faith.
So who, Moonwater, who was the original witch? If you had to trace Wicca all the way back in history, who would you say was the mother or father of Wicca?
Well, Gerald B. Gardner was the father of modern Wicca as we know it, or witchcraft. Because he realized that the craft, as we call it, was dying out, he really had to step up. And a lot of the persecution over the hundreds of years of witches had really fragmented the religion. And so he had to kind of put it together slowly to figure out and stitch together exactly what the real pieces were. And because he had a history of being with the native people and knowing their ways, it was a lot easier for him to do that.
So,
came back to me. Raymond Buckland.
Ah.
I knew it would eventually, you know. just had to blow out the
dust. Hit the recall button.
Yes, exactly.
But I have recently come across, you know, because I was asking, you know, I need something to study. You know, if we're going to do this interview and get into, you know, the deep subjects, I need something to study. And you brought up an interesting point that deity or spirit will put things in your path. And I will be doggoned if we did not release an inmate and he goes, here, I don't need all this property no more. You can throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And in that property was the Witch's Bible.
Oh, by Janet and Stuart Farrar?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so, boy, that thing is a lot of, that's a lot of information.
It is. And I'm not really sure on this. Don't quote me on it, but I think that's more of a it's a different tradition than Gardnerian, but it has a lot in there of Gardnerian. I mm-hmm. think it's more Alexandrian, but I could be wrong.
Now, when you say Alexandrian and Diana, I'm thinking...
Dianic.
I'm sorry?
It's called Dianic.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
It's okay. I'm just letting you know.
But I'm thinking more Egyptian and Greek, given their names.
Yes. A lot of that comes into play. I believe Gardner actually put in a lot of Greco-Roman and different elements into it at first, but then a person called Doreen Valiente came into the picture and realized that, you know, the pieces that he was trying to put together weren't of the area that was originating of this culture. So she started putting in more of the Celts and different things. So you'll have a lot of different, you know, this is where it branches out and gets to different things. Like, for example, Raymond Buckland has the Sukswika. That's a Scottish branch mm-hmm. that he's made. There's so many different branches, and I pretty much don't know them all, but there's just, it's an explosion, really, once it got to America, that people were, you know, taking the material and expanding on it for their own personal beliefs.
And would you say that now that it's exploded and it's more, much more larger nowadays, that it's much more accepted?
I think that the movie The Craft actually really got people to think about it. And I think that really helped to publicize what it was, even though it was Hollywoodized.
Yeah.
That's a word.
Yes, it is. They can tear up anything.
Yeah, basically. And but it got the people interested, the people who never heard of Wicca before. And people who were afraid of it, but then kind of saw what it was kind of like, they had more questions. So they would go in, and I think the most Wicca books at that time were purchased around that time after the movie had come out. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. But I hear a lot of people say, I'm a white witch or... something like that. What is the terminology in that, and what's the difference between a white witch or what other terminology they use on that?
Well, dark magic, dark witch.
Is the practice different on?
Actually, it's kind of a falsity of black and white magic.
Mm-hmm.
Magic is magic. It is energy. Energy is neither bad or good. It is just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's how it's used. So, for an example, you have a surgeon and his patient's heart stops, takes the resuscitator and shocks the heart back into life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a positive way of using electricity. You have another possible use of electricity, the electric chair.
Hmm.
Not necessarily the best use, I think, of using
that's the opposite effect.
Yes, exactly. So you can see how it's the same thing, but it's how it's used and harnessed that mm-hmm. makes the difference.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So how does, I mean, I know you just explained it, but how do you view those who are giving Wicca a bad name? Because, I mean, the very case that brought us together was a woman who was misusing
mm-hmm.
Magic and interacting with spirits that she perhaps shouldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really highly unfortunate, but there are people, just like in every religious or any organization, you know, not all Catholic priests molest boys. You know, there's a lot of good people out there,
mm-hmm.
but yet, you know, the old saying goes about, you know, one bad apple in the barrel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Focus on that and not all the good apples that are there. even though that there's just one of the bad. So, mm-hmm. and it's also that, you know, for practitioners of Wicca, that they tend to be more vocal and are more seen, you know, and the people who are actually doing it, you know, peacefully with love in their heart, they're not out there shouting and saying, hey, here I am. That's one of the things that we don't do, is we don't proselytize. We don't go out. That's not what we do.
Right. You wait till spirit leads you to it, much like your case.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
So now you have worked your way, and this may be more of a doctrinal question. You have worked and you've done the studies and you've done everything that you should, and now you are a high priestess.
Yes.
Now I'm assuming that you have people under you that you mentor.
I do. Unfortunately, only do a lot of my mentoring online because I just don't have the space for a group at mm-hmm. this moment. But yeah, I do actually help out a lot of people online and mentor them. And I mean, people are just starving, that they just need help and they need guidance. And a lot of times that they live in an area where there isn't anybody, or they don't know how to contact anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're so secretive.
Ah, well, not so much. We're on a show right now.
Exactly.
It's broadcasting all over more... the world right now.
Oh, wonderful.
But so with your responsibility also comes, you know, you have to discipline people sometimes. What is the process, or what would you tell somebody that you're mentoring that you find is misusing magic?
Well, for one thing, I would try to express that, you know, this is something that you shouldn't be doing. Unfortunately, because it is how I'm doing it now online, there's not really a whole lot I can do to actually, you know, be there to have any kind of disciplinary, if that's even a word,
yes.
action. But, you know, I try to, you know, talk to them and really try to reason with them that the actions that they're doing are not, they're misguided, mm-hmm. and they need to really, you know, try this path instead. It's much healthier for you and for the world.
Yes, and for the people that are in those ripples that you create in the pond, like our family that
exactly.
you, me and Molly were trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, let's be real honest though, with the type of power that you can harness, it's got to be very tempting to use it for selfish means. What do you, you know, is there a selection process before you begin to mentor somebody to make sure that they're not going to do that?
Exactly. Yes. It usually takes about a year and a day for somebody to even be considered to be taught anything at all. You really have to know the person, and a lot of people don't realize, but just go out to coffee, you know, spend some time, you know, get to know the person. What do they do? What do they like? It's pretty much down to, you know, just knowing who you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there just a natural knowing? And Molly, I'm sorry if I'm monopolizing.
No, go ahead. I'm chat room right now.
Oh, is there like a natural drawing? And the reason I say that is because us as mediums, we all tend to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'll spot them and you're like, I know who you are. And one mm-hmm. of two things will happen. We'll either absolutely love each other or we will not get along.
Yeah, they always talk about the witch's mark and in history about being, you know, a mole or this or that. That's not what it is. It's just like you were saying, it's on the inside, on your spirit, and you can tell those people who are and are true to what they're doing.
So do you teach, once they've made the process and once you feel safe, I guess is a good word, or you get that sense of family, like, okay, they belong here?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You would go and, once you feel that they're comfortable, that they're not going to do something weird or crazy, which is what we were dealing with your case. Mm-hmm.
Boy, were we.
Yeah,
and geez. More and more keeps coming out.
Oh, no. Anyways, well, I'm here if you need me. It's just knowing the person and, you know, another thing that we do, too, is we have different degrees. It's like, you notice I'm a third degree. Mm-hmm. You have first, second, and then third. And only certain information is passed down at the lower elevations. And that's for safety for themselves as well as everybody else. You know, they you teach them, you know, easy things, but also simple things, but are very fundamental and foundational, but things that aren't going to hurt them or other people. Now, of course, you know, once the student or whatever has all the information and for some reason they do something wacky, you can't really, you know, do a whole lot except, you know, bind them or other, there are other things you can do, but that gets more complicated.
Yes, binding sounds pretty serious, and I'm familiar with it, but explain that, because that sounds like a pretty disciplinary measure.
It is, and an example would be, God, I can't even remember.
Well, that's when a good sign, because that means you haven't had to do it in a while.
Oh, I've never had to do it, and I really don't want to have to ever do it. But there was, I don't remember where, and I don't remember, it was obviously a long time ago, but there was a rapist loose in a city. And the witches got together and bound him so that he could not do what he was doing, and that he would shine as bright as a lantern so that the police could find him. And eventually he was actually caught soon after.
Well, that's awesome. In a way, mm-hmm. You had a large hand in that.
I did.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you stopped him and kind of, I guess.
Oh, this wasn't me personally. This was somebody else.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like,
I'm sorry. I didn't think I was explaining it as well as I could. But yeah, it was a group in a town, not myself, but a group that of witches that decided that this had to stop.
Well, that's cool.
What they did. Oh, we have a real good energy of stepping over each other, don't we? It takes talent.
So when you perform magic, okay. Speaking of this was a great segue.
Say, ask her your question.
Yes, I'm slowly leading to it because I'm sitting here thinking it was such a deep question. When you are using magic, because I don't know a better term for it, Moonwater,
mm-hmm.
in essence, you're dealing with the very essence of the universe itself.
Exactly.
That mana that holds everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that you're having a physical effect on the physical world using a spiritual mean?
Yes, and I can give you, as best I can, an example. Lightning strikes a tree. What happens to the tree? It has a physical reaction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Energy, you know, that's in the sky is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as a medium, I'm sure you know and can feel it around you. You can feel it on people, on plants, on whatever.
Yes.
And it's basically using magic is knowing how to harness all that energy and actually create that action, like the lightning bolt hitting the tree.
So now you feel the lightning. Trust me, I've been tased so many times.
Oh, dear.
That's what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
That's a different story for a different topic.
Hey, but I can jumpstart your car. But you feel that juice, that 50,000 volts, or, you know, so does magic have a physical form?
Well, as I said, you know, there's the energy, and a lot of energy is made of electrons. And even though they're subtle, you know, everything has a positive and a negative. And when they react, things happen.
I gotcha. Because we're dealing in our business, we're mm-hmm. dealing with spirits who have the ability to manipulate physical objects.
Yes.
And but yet they're spirit, which, you know, defies logic, but we're not a logical people.
Mm-hmm.
So using your craft, how do you manipulate that energy, or how do you manipulate that? Is there a physical aspect? I mean, I know that there are physical things that you have to do for, mm-hmm. for certain spells or summonings or incantations, but the question's escaping me.
So basically, how does magic work?
Let's boil it down.
It's like, how does that thingy dog bog thingy work? Okay. Well, magic, as I was explaining, is energy. And when you use the energy, the first thing you do is you have to have an intent when you're doing a spell.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, I need a new car, or, you know, I need to, you know, help my kid graduate college, you know, something.
Oh, yes,
it has
please.
To be something, a firm idea. Ooh, bless you.
Bless you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Next, you would have, after you figure out what you need, comes the visualization. Visualizing this need actually being fulfilled. And that's where concentration comes in. So you have to visualize and concentrate. And then one of the most powerful things, it's basically, I don't know, I guess you call it the gas or whatever, is willpower.
Yes.
And willpower is basically your bread and butter. But you having willpower doesn't do a whole lot if you don't have a way of focusing it. So as a witch, what I personally do is I would cast a circle, and that creates a container for all the energy that I can raise to be focused. It's just like, you know, you take a basin, a tub, and you take a spoon and you try to stir it. You know, what happens? You get water everywhere. It doesn't really do anything, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But if you take that same spoon and put it into a teacup and then stir it, what happens?
Ah, okay.
You're confining it.
Yes. You're concealing, or not concealing, you're containing mm-hmm. the space so that you can actually make the energy focused and do what
you
will.
Make the swirl, the whirlpool, or whatever.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you get that energy, and there's many different ways of raising energy, and we can talk about that if you'd like to. But you actually, they talk about the cone of power, and that's where you focus it on that idea, on that intent, and seeing that intent being fulfilled, and using that willpower then to shoot off into that intent.
Correct.
It's a little, it's pretty, it's, it sounds easy, but it's really difficult.
Oh, but I'm understanding it, though.
Okay, good. I was hoping that was making sense. But yeah.
It's just a form of manifestation, right?
In a way, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, let me ask you this, because you make it sound so simple, so easy.
Mm-hmm.
What are spells for then?
Okay, a spell is basically a means of how to manifest something. So, let's say you do a love spell. And there are so many bad ways of doing a love spell. And I actually talk about that on my blog. But, you know, when you're doing a love spell, you want to do it open-ended, which is kind of difficult for a lot of people. Because a lot of people, they're focused on one person, so they do the love spell on that person, and they get their own personal stalker. Not good. Because there's that person now is, you have basically taken that, their own will, and shoved it aside for what that person wants, which is a bad thing karmically and in other ways.
Yeah.
And you start controlling this person, and that becomes a bad karmic thing on you. So, and it just, it, you know, then, you know, once you've done that, you know, then those ripples that you were talking about earlier, you know, they bounce off and, you know, come back at you three times is strong.
Yes, the threefold law.
The three times, the law, the three times law. And, you know, you'll get the stalker. He, you know, he comes to your work. He comes to your school. You know, he comes to watches you when you work out. It gets kind of creepy.
Yeah, but you asked for it.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, that's why I'm saying a lot of times people do them wrong. And the proper way of doing a love spell would be to say, let me find the person. And you can name off characteristics that you're looking for in the person. As long as it's not a particular person, saying, you know, I want him to be, you know, funny, smart, and, you know, you name off all the things and you do your spell and shoot that off and say, may it be for the good of all involved. So you're not forcing anybody to do anything, but you're asking the universe or the god and goddess to actually steer your interests to you. So do you see the big difference?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Yes.
You're not manipulating. You're not enslaving another person.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the purest way I could put that. Because, you know, the stalker is simply just a slave to something that you've made him do.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes something very dangerous if it's a strong enough spell.
Yeah, like create a zombie. I mean, I'm not being funny.
That's not the same thing. Zombies are I believe it's voodoo.
Yes.
And that actually, they actually do it, if I'm not mistaken, it's a certain type of poison that they feed this person that makes them look like they're dead.
Yes.
And then they have the funeral and everything, and then the person comes out, digs them up, because they're still alive. Takes them, and they keep feeding little bits of this poison to them, so they can't really think on their own, and that's what you get. You get the zombie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine the karma you're going to get from that, though.
Yes. So there's a lot of people that would think that, oh, that sounds like such a good idea, but it's really, really, really not.
No. You know, because you in essence you've really kind of killed the person. You have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why they call them the Walking Dead.
Yep.
You're exactly right. But
I have a friend that stars in that show, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
Oh, which character is it?
You know, I don't watch the show.
Oh dear!
It was Santiago.
It's Santiago is his real name.
Oh, but, the credits.
I don't watch much TV at all. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to not either, just because it's mind numbing and basically sucks your intelligence away. But you know, there are certain shows that are really fun to watch, and sometimes you just have to give yourself a little candy once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I was earlier. I was watching the old Carol Burnett shows on public broadcasting.
Oh, she's
and
hilarious.
That was really funny. So I taped it so I can watch it later. But I do not watch much TV at all. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we become zombies ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you what, guys, let's go ahead and let's take our break. And then when we come back in the second hour, we'll talk a little bit more about magic. And then you can explain sigils, because they've become very relevant lately.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, everybody. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And again, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, you can shout those out either in the chat room or you can call in live, and don't be shy. And that number is
262-672-2488.
Awesome.
You did. Yeah. You just trying to ingrain that in my head. So.
Yes.
And we have tattoo needles that will work just as well.
I know. I have it tattooed on my eyelid. So, yeah.
That means you're doing it with your eyes closed.
Yeah. So, whose number is this?
And I'll be waking up at 2:30 in the morning. Hello? Who is this? All right, everybody. Well, we'll be right back after this.
Metzler, crunch time in California. The state's presidential primary is tomorrow. 475 delegates at stake, including superdelegates. Hillary Clinton needs just 23 more to clinch the Democratic nomination.
I believe as of tomorrow, I will have more than 3 million votes, more than Bernie Sanders. I will have a substantial lead in pledged delegates. Superdelegates have always followed the will of the voters. I expect them to do the same this time.
Bernie Sanders hopes superdelegates switch their allegiance to him if he does well in California and the five other states holding contest tomorrow. A Democratic Party official says President Obama called Sanders Sunday to talk about the future of his campaign. No details given, but the president is said to be ready to endorse his party's presumptive nominee.
His aides have begun discussions with the Clinton camp to determine how the president can help. White House spokesman Josh Earnest indicated to reporters today that President Obama could endorse the presumptive nominee as early as Wednesday. He may not wait for one of the candidates to bow out.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. Republicans Newt Gingrich, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and John Kasich criticizing comments by their party's presumptive nominee. Donald Trump saying a judge presiding over the Trump University fraud trial cannot be impartial because he's of Mexican descent. Also saying a Muslim judge wouldn't be fair either. Kasich urging Trump to apologize to Judge Gonzalo Curiel, a native of Indiana. Texas Democratic Congressman Philemon Vela called Trump a racist, saying his great-great-grandfather came to this country in 1857, well before Trump's ancestors arrived. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Republicans, the Democrats, two critical conventions, and only one network covers it all. Fair and balanced. Fox News Channel, starting July 18th, the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Then, starting July 25th, the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The must-see political events are on Fox News Channel. We are America's election headquarters.
Ready to make some money?
I'm going to go behind the headline to give you the real, real deal. The concept of the show? To get people to believe in investing again.
Make today the day.
I've seen it all on Wall Street the last 25 years owning my own firm. I know exactly where investors are making mistakes. I'm going to help you connect the dots, making your ideas pay off. Because ultimately, I want you to make a whole lot of money and live the American dream.
Watch Making Money with Charles Payne, weeknights on the Fox Business Network.
canceling a New York meeting with Donald Trump because of Tropical Storm Colin.
I just declared a state of emergency in 34 counties.
Florida Governor Rick Scott, the storm targeting his state's Gulf Coast. The Tampa Bay Bridge already closed because of strong winds, and the rain is starting to come down. Jurors in Los Angeles reaching a verdict on a sentence for the Grim Sleeper serial killer in the deaths of 9 women and a teenage girl.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, fix the penalty for defendant Lonnie David Franklin Jr. as death by execution.
The murders took place over 2 decades, a 14-year gap in between. A pretrial hearing today for the Michigan Uber driver accused of killing 6 people between customers. Jason Dalton told police he was under the control of a devil figure on his Uber app the night he started shooting victims at random. His lawyer's likely to use an insanity defense. A lawsuit over IRS information ends with the release of the names of groups denied tax-exempt status.
426 organizations in all, overwhelmingly conservative, the release ordered by a federal appeals court in a class-action lawsuit against the IRS. Here's Cleta Mitchell, who represents 12 groups on the list.
The IRS fought tooth and nail from having to turn over this list. We've only gotten this list after much wrangling, legally and otherwise, and because we had a judge, in this case, who was willing to say no to the government.
Indeed, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals slammed the agency in its March 22nd opinion that compelled Friday's release. Quote, no citizen, Republican or Democrat, socialist or libertarian, should be targeted or even have to fear being targeted on those grounds. In Washington, Doug McElway, Fox News.
The Playboy Mansion sold the buyer, a billionaire businessman who lives next door. 90-year-old Hugh Hefner allowed to live in the mansion for the rest of his life. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Everybody, we are back. You are listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And joining us for our second hour is Moonwater Silverclaw. And we've been having an absolutely fascinating discussion about, well, about her, and then a little bit about the history of the practice of Wicca. And then we've been discussing, how would you say it, Molly? The essence of magic? And then Moonwater, we kind of finished up with what is magic, what do we do with it, how do we do it, and you were talking about basically a stool with 3 legs, that you've got your intent, then you have your willpower, then you have the practice, I'm messing this up, I know I am.
Intent, willpower, and concentration.
There it is, concentration. And if I'm kind of understanding this right, if I've got the equation correct in my head, the concentration is really where everything takes place.
Well, I think it's a little bit of A and a little bit of B. You need to mix concentration with the willpower, and that's where you need that focus.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use meditation to sharpen their focus.
Now this equation that you've given us is basically whenever you're performing a spell, like you said, a love spell or a prosperity spell. But what brought the three of us together as friends was a case that was actually dealing with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a different method that you would have to use whenever you're dealing with a spirit itself?
Then you would actually, a lot of witches will be familiar with the athami. And athami is a black-handled knife, and that's where a lot of the directing energy goes. So you would actually concentrate and focus the energy down your arm into the athami, and then you point the athami where you feel you need protection, and that is where the action happens, so to speak. I don't know if that's clear, but...
No, it actually is, because I'm picturing in my head, and I know this is probably so stereotypical, is a magic wand.
Yeah, you can use that too. But a wand is more of a gentle way of guiding and asking, versus an athame is more of a authoritarian... Well, I hate to use that word, but it's more of a... Oh, how could I say it?
A little more heavy-handed.
Yeah, there you go. A little more heavy-handed. It's not necessarily asking, it's commanding. And we usually don't like to command spirits around because that's bad. But when there's something happening and you need protection, then that's where that would come in handy.
Now you just said something very key, very, very crucial, and it sent me down a different road.
Good road or bad road?
Well,
follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah, we'll find out here in a second. Now, you said that commanding spirits is bad. Historically, how have witches been associated with familiars?
Familiars are usually an animal. Like, for example, what Molly was talking about, the parrot that just wouldn't leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically an animal that wants to be around you, and usually an animal that helps when you're doing a magic practice, that it actually lends energy. It helps you do what you need to do. A lot of people will notice that when they're meditating, for example, their pet will come and curl up on their lap or be with them. And that's a good sign of a familiar.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do healings every once in a while. And my cat will actually, on some of the people that we're working on, will get up on the table with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lay down. She doesn't do that with everyone, but she does that with certain ones.
Mm-hmm. Because she probably realizes that she needs to give you a little more support in that area because there's something going on.
Well, that's cool.
And I was going to say that a lot of people don't realize also that a familiar doesn't have to be a domesticated animal. A familiar can be a deer, for example. You do a spell or ritual in a particular place in the forest, and this one deer keeps showing up every single time. That would be a familiar.
You know, I've never thought about that. I've always pictured a familiar as a spirit that took shape as of an animal.
No, not necessarily. That's usually the animal itself. Its spirit that it has it within it recognizes and wants to be a part of what you're doing.
That's actually cool. So it's kind of like a helper, an assistant, an aide. But it's doing it on its own will.
Yes, you never force an animal to do anything. That's bad. Again, that goes back to, you know, manipulating one's will, whether it be an animal or whatever. You don't want to, you know, do that to another being.
Now this question is something that I wanted to ask, but it also came to me over Facebook. Can witches, either good or bad, can they summon spirits?
Yes.
For what purpose?
It depends on what the witch needs. A lot of times we work with the elementals, which are a type of spirit, but it's kind of weird. It's more of a, gosh, I don't know how to explain.
Like the fairies and the...
Those aren't necessarily elementals. Elemental would be associated like a fire elemental. Mm-hmm. They are literally made of fire. Okay. So, for example, when you get forest fires or something like that, that's a, you know, something that's come in and is taken over, and you know, there's nobody there to control it. Whether it was started by man or not, it is found at Gateway Inn and needs to be ushered out.
Okay.
That's why we use water.
Yes, because water is kind of the opposite of fire. And the water itself is a type of elemental, or has the types of elementals. They're called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right.
Sprite or something like that?
Undines or Udines. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I am dyslexic, so I read things and they don't always make sense. Which is why I have lots of editors. Thank gods for editors.
I needed one for the opening of the show. So then, because I'm still kind of high-centered on this case that brought us together. Mm-hmm. This woman who did practice a form of magic was mm-hmm. able to contain this spirit. And you know, you see it in Hollywood all the time. She was able to contain this specific spirit who was not very well intended and was able to trap it, I'm assuming, and manipulate it, but it had a mm-hmm. contract with her. Mm-hmm. Is that true, or is that possible that you can have a contract with a, for lack of better words, a demonic spirit?
This is where I get out of my territory of knowing a whole lot about that. I'm guessing that you can, but again, because I've never, you know, had to do it myself or, you known anybody who would do such a thing, then I have no idea really on that one.
Yeah, because this entity or whatever, it was trapped there. It could not, work for her. So it could not go anywhere. It, you know, with her being gone, it was mm-hmm. trapped.
It's kind of like having a door and you open it up to bring in somebody, you close it and you lock the key or lock the door with the key. Mm-hmm. Something happens to you. The person can't get out of the house because mm-hmm. they don't have the key. The key left within you.
Exactly. And that is, it seems to be exactly what happened in this case. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. is there any way to release them from that?
I know there is, but I don't know any specifics at the moment. Mm-hmm. I can find out if you're interested later.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because it's asking, my understanding and my minimal research in the black arts, which is very limited, you have a certain type of spell, or as you explained, an intention. She had the willpower, and mm-hmm. then, you know, she was able to bring the spirit in, trap it, and utilize it for whatever deeds that she needed it to do. But like you said, she passed away and never released the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But as the story goes, this spirit actually manipulated factors around the house mm-hmm. and led to her demise.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, trapping itself, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's where the law of three comes into play.
Oh.
She's. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, but for the listeners, explain that.
Mm-hmm. The law of three, basically, whatever action you do, whether it be good or bad, you put it out into the universe. Let's say that that action is a stone, and the universe is a pond, and you throw the stone out into the pond, and it goes kaplunk, and you get these ripples from where that interaction of the water surface and the stone hit each other. Well, the water goes out and it grows. The ripples get bigger, right? And they bounce off of the walls. And what happens when they bounce off the walls?
Oh, wow. They come back.
They come back. A lot of times you'll have a lot, they'll be more compacted together, right?
Yes.
And they will eventually converge all from different sides to that same point that it was the original impact.
Yeah, the it returns to the origin, but it's amplified from all sides.
Exactly. So if you did something like, you know, a stranger dropped their wallet and you picked it up and go, here, you dropped this, sir or madam. That would be a positive thing. Maybe someday down the line, someone does that for you, but maybe, you know, they scare a person away from, you know, your house or your, you know, where your family's staying or something, you know, where they do something. It always comes back. So if you do a negative action, you can see where the negative consequences will come back, and they can come back from any direction.
So all actions have a reaction.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a not necessarily equal but opposite reaction.
We have somebody in the chat room that would like to know the difference between black magic and voodoo.
That's another area I don't know a whole lot about.
Okay.
I am a Gardnerian Wiccan high priestess, and I don't have a lot of voodoo priestess friends, so I haven't really had that connection yet.
Okay, thank you.
So, again, a beautiful, beautiful segue. See, everything, Molly, everything's working so perfectly tonight. We must have done good deeds. These are great ripples. This spirit, and I have seen them, you know, online and in movies and what have you. I've seen spell books, and I've seen sigils, but I never really understood.
Production of the Z Talk Radio Network.